Greymore Friars Monastery is located on Atoman Mountain, near Garrison, New York. Adjacent to this famous monastery, one sees St. Christopher's Inn. Homeless men from all walks of life come to this famous inn. These men are fed and sheltered by the Greymore Friars, and no distinction is ever made of race, creed, or color. You are invited to listen to another chapter of the dramatized story, The Life of Christ, brought to you transcribed each week by the Greymore Friars, who offer this series with a prayerful hope that this vivid portrayal of the life of Christ will help to reawaken in you a deeper personal love of God and a firm determination to strive to prove that love in your daily life. Now, Chapter 10, The Treachery of the Pharisees.
For this reason have I hewed them by the prophets. I have slain them by the words of my mouth, and thy judgment shall go forth as the light. For I desire mercy and not sacrifice, and the knowledge of God more than holocausts. But they, like Adam, have transgressed the covenant. There have they dealt treacherously against me.
Now the Pharisees were far more numerous than the Sadducees. But their strength and power was greatest in the districts outside of Jerusalem, where the noble and priestly Sadducees controlled the temple. Dear to the heart of the Pharisee was the Sabbath rest, payment of tithe, and ritual purity. Over the years, their scribes had developed a tradition of behavior which reached into the life of every Jew. And the tabulations of what a man could or could not do on the Sabbath was long, cumbersome, and subject to seemingly capricious interpretation. They were, of course, greatly angered and puzzled by the question Jesus had raised when he had said to the paralytic, "Thy sins are forgiven thee."
Of a certain it was blasphemy. Did he not say, thy sin?
Yes, Rabbi, I heard him. I was there.
Well, you are a teacher, an expounder and interpreter of the tradition and the law. What would you say should one of your students put the question, did Jesus blaspheme?
Truly, Rabbi, at this moment I would be hard-pressed for an answer.
Indeed? Why?
The manner of his wording. He did not say, I, Jesus, forgive thee thy sins, but thy sins are forgiven thee.
Was not the implication clear?
Ah, but implications are not direct statements. I would look the fool to bring a man into court with a charge, this man said such and such, and this is what I think it means.
Oh, let it pass for the moment. Didn't he go on to say that we should know that the Son of Man has power on earth to forgive sins?
Here again is a doubtful phrase.
But the two taken together. Isn't it blasphemy?
Well, let's see. Rabbi, what is meant by the Son of Man?
Why, as recorded in Daniel, the Son of Man is the Messiah, who will be given power and glory forever, and all people on earth shall serve him.
Very well. But did Jesus say in so many words that he is the Son of Man? Or did he say that he would do this cure so that all would know the Son of Man had the power to forgive?
Well, I'm forced to admit he did not come right out and say he was the Messiah, but Well, but nonetheless, people are whispering it to themselves.
Do not some whisper the same of John the Baptist? And where is John now? In prison. Obviously, both can't be the Messiahs. Rabbi, we've had this happen many times in our history. People who come from nowhere, it seems, and either say they are the one, or others say it for them. Then they either die by the Roman sword or are laughed at by the people.
But this man is different.
Yes, he is. And that is why we must keep a very close watch over him. Be ready to report any and all infractions of the law to Abner when he returns to Jerusalem.
Very well, but look, isn't that Jesus now?
Where?
At the end of the street. There with those who always are with him.
Yes, that's Jesus. He's coming this way.
Well, come, let's hurry and find out what he's saying.
They hurried forward, and they halted in front of the place where a man named Levi, a tax collector, was conducting his business. There they waited for Jesus, who, with his disciples, was slowly coming along the street.
The amount is correct. Here is your receipt. Next, please. Wait. You're one drachma short.
A curse on you, tax collector.
Rob a Roman jackal.
I know what you think of tax collectors. And I know that there are many unjust men who are tax collectors. But that doesn't mean that I take more than what is my just due for the service I give.
He's coming. Let us move away. I don't want people to see us with the public and Levi.
Wait, wait. Hold your payments. I want to see Jesus go by.
Notice he's looking directly at Levi.
Ah, this would be a good time for him to speak out against the burdensome taxes the Romans levy on our nation.
Wait, he's speaking to Levi.
Follow me.
Did you hear? He tells this tax collector to follow him.
Follow me. Jesus said, follow me, just as he spoke to John and James and Andrew and Simon. Did you hear it? He wants me to go with him.
Is the fellow mad? He's closing his office.
Hold your taxes. I'll not be doing this anymore. Hold them and pay them to the man who replaces me.
Surely he's not mad enough to give up a lucrative business to follow these beggars.
Well, Jesus seems not too much concerned with whom he associates.
Listen, everybody, within the sound of my voice. Tonight, I will give a feast in celebration of this great honor. You are all invited. All are welcome, my friends, even those who do not like me. Rabbi, scribe, you are invited. Come and celebrate with me.
Talk. You think we'd sit with you and your friends?
Be gone. A curse on you and all your kind.
I am coming. Remember, tonight, all are welcome.
And Levi the tax collector, at the words of Jesus, rose and followed him. And in time he was to be called Matthew, and he was the one who would write the first gospel of our Lord. And the news of the banquet was passed in Capernaum, but the Pharisees and scribes were scandalized that Jesus sat among Levi's friends.
Listen, all of you. Levi the publican's holding a banquet. Every tax collector and sinner in town is there. And among them is Jesus. Enjoying himself. Imbibing the wine and stuffing himself with food. Oh, they're having a merry time. Come and see for yourselves.
I was sitting in my office. Jesus stopped and said, follow me. And I did. I closed my office, didn't even count the day's receipts. I just left. It seemed the most natural thing to do.
Well, what did I tell you? What a crew for one who preaches the new life and repentance for sins.
Yes, I see some among them who used to follow John the Baptist.
And looking none too happy about what's going on. There's a fellow I know who accompanies Jesus everywhere. I'll question him. You, come here. Why does your master eat with publicans and sinners? Yes. Why is this?
It is not the healthy who need a physician, but they who are sick. But go and learn what this means. I desire mercy, not sacrifice. For I have come to call sinners, not the just, to repentance.
Please, please, this is a celebration. Let's have no discussions. Rabbi, all who wish are invited to the feast. Would you and your party care to join us?
Why do the disciples of John fast and make supplications, and likewise those of the Pharisees, whereas thy disciples eat and drink?
Can you make the wedding guests fast as long as the bridegroom is with them?
Didn't John at the Jordan make this reference to the bridegroom when questioned?
But the day will come when the bridegroom shall be taken away from them, and then they will fast. No one puts a patch of raw cloth on an old garment, for the patch tears away from the garment, and a worse rent is made.
Why does he talk like a tailor? I see no logic in his discourse.
Nor do people pour new wine into old wineskins, else the skins burst, the wine is spilt, and the skins are ruined. But they put new wine into fresh skins, and both are saved.
Take note how he rambles.
And no man, after drinking old wine, immediately desires new. For he says, the old is better.
Wine, new skins, new patches, old garments, old sores with scripture thrown in.
He was quoting the prophet Osee.
Yes, yes, I found it. What shall I do unto thee, O Ephraim? What shall I do unto thee, O Judah? Ah, here it is. For I desired mercy and not sacrifices, and the knowledge of God more than holocausts. But they, like Adam, have transgressed the covenant. There have they dealt treacherously with me. Well, I see no connection, do you?
None whatever. In my opinion, the disconnected talk indicates a weakness in the mind.
Perhaps. But again, it might be deliberate.
But why?
Should he be called to account, as he will one of these days, he'll say we misquoted him or misinterpreted his meaning.
Well, there's nothing to do but keep trailing him.
It came to pass that on another Sabbath, Jesus and his disciples were walking through a cornfield, and they were plucking the ears and eating the grain. And the scribes and Pharisees did not fail to notice this.
Come, hurry. We must catch up with them.
Aren't we exerting ourselves too strenuously on the Sabbath?
Well, the cause demands it. Fellow, wait a moment.
Why are you doing what is not lawful on the Sabbath?
Have you not read what David did when he and those with him were hungry?
We are not interested.
How he entered the house of God and took and ate the loaves of proposition and gave to those who were with him which no one can lawfully eat but only the priest?
But that has
nothing to do. Or have you not read in the law that on the Sabbath days the priests in the temple break the Sabbath and are guiltless?
A priest in the temple is excused.
But I tell you, one greater than the temple is here. But if you knew what this means, I desire mercy and not sacrifice, you never would have condemned the innocent. For the Son of Man is Lord, even of the Sabbath.
But the men are violating the Sabbath.
The Sabbath was made for man, and not man for the Sabbath.
Insolent fellow. He has an answer for everything.
He compares himself with David, who was king of the Jews. This ordinary carpenter would have us believe he has the same privilege as kings of Judea.
Well, we have further evidence of his disrespect for the laws of the Sabbath.
I don't feel we should follow further, lest we ourselves be criticized.
He will return to Capernaum soon, and we'll question him further.
And Jesus passed on from them, but returned to Capernaum to preach in the synagogue. And the scribes and the Pharisees were there. And when he had finished his sermon, they questioned him.
Now put the question.
Very well. Jesus of Nazareth, is it lawful to cure on the Sabbath?
What man is there among you? If he has a single sheep, and it falls into a pit on the Sabbath, will not take hold of it and lift it out. How much better is a man than a sheep? Therefore it is lawful to do good on the Sabbath.
Look then, directly before you sits a poor man with a withered hand.
Stand forth in the midst. Stretch forth thy hand.
You saw?
Yes, I saw. Come, let us get out quickly. We must have a conference.
Wait.
What is it?
You see that man over there? Recognize him?
Yes, he's one of Herod Antipas' spies. I'm going to call him over.
No. I'll not be seen talking to a Herodian.
But if we could persuade Herod to arrest Jesus as he did John the Baptist, wouldn't that solve our problem?
Can it be arranged?
Perhaps, if handled right. That means you rabbis must not be stiff-necked with him. You must be outwardly congenial.
Herod has flouted the law. He has taken his niece incestuously in marriage. He himself is half-Jew.
It is not the time to be squeamish, Rabbi. Before we're through, we'll need Herod on our side.
Necessity drives me to this. Very well.
Then I'll call him over?
No. It's still the Sabbath. We can conduct no business until sundown. I'll go on ahead. You tell him to come to us as soon as the sun goes down.
Man of Herod, wait. I want to talk to you.
You speak of this man breaking the Sabbath. Do you think Herod would care about that? He does the same himself.
I told you, scribe, our religion means nothing to Herod.
Be it so. Surely we'd not ask Herod to sit in judgment on a religious matter. We must handle that ourselves.
Well said, scribe.
However, there is this to be considered. Jesus has a great following now, and the Galileans have no love for Herod.
Granted. Go on.
Only the other day, Jesus likened himself to King David, and the people present cheered him.
You heard this?
The rabbi will bear witness to it.
It is true.
I don't think Herod would like that.
Suppose Pilate were to be told that another John the Baptist, even more persuasive than John, was in Galilee stirring up the people.
You've not mentioned this to Pilate.
No, I...
Well?
Ever since John predicted one greater than himself was to come, Pilate has had his informers watching Jesus.
This is serious. Well, I mean, it could be if...
Come, we can speak plainly here. We know quite well Pilate's not happy with the way Rome has divided the provinces in Palestine. Nothing would please him more than to have an excuse to send troops into Galilee. Once he did, Herod's throne would be abolished, and Galilee combined with Judea.
Well, that's a possibility only.
It's the hard truth, and you know it as well as Herod.
Let us be realists. We despise Herod and he us, but we must forget our differences in the face of a common enemy, Jesus of Nazareth.
What do you propose?
That Herod arrest Jesus.
It wouldn't be wise right now. The followers of John are clamoring for his release. To arrest Jesus would but add another group to Herod's enemies. The man's extremely popular, judging from what happened at the synagogue.
You were there?
Yes. One moment I saw a withered hand, the next one that was well. Now, if you could manage to turn the people against Jesus, Herod might act and put him in prison with John the Baptist.
We don't recognize these cures of Jesus.
You refuse to believe your own eyes? You persist in denying the cures, the people soon regard you as fools. Turn you out.
He's right. We must admit the man has cured many people.
What? You expect the priests to announce that his power is greater than theirs?
We will continue to press him to cure on the Sabbath. When the time comes, we can turn the people against him, and Herod can then arrest him.
How do you propose to do this?
Suppose we were to suggest that his command to the evil spirits was obeyed because he was their king.
Ah, you've hit upon something.
Then would they be so anxious to fall down before him or follow him about the country?
Well, it might frighten some. But then again, some poor man eaten by leprosy who's made well is not going to question the gift, but joyfully accept it.
Yes, I grant you that. But the well and strong will not hesitate to think the price of the cure too great. They will look with a suspicious eye on these works of magic.
Well, the plan seems good.
We'll try it. However, I have another line of attack which may appeal more readily to Herod.
Yes?
He will unite with us in making things so uncomfortable for Jesus that he'll leave Galilee.
And go where?
Preferably into Pilate's territory.
Excellent. The best idea so far. Then Herod could report to Rome that Pilate was permitting a rabble-rouser to move about and made no effort to stop him.
Exactly.
And Pilate, knowing that Herod informs Rome at the slightest excuse, would be forced to act.
We should put both plans into operation at once. We'll never let Jesus out of sight. We'll ask leading questions. Get him to trap himself.
Then it's agreed. We work together?
Agreed. I'll leave at once and report this conversation to Herod.
One moment before you go. What's happened to John the Baptist?
Nothing yet. He's still in prison at Machaerus.
Still in prison?
Well, the fellow interests Herod. He spends much time with him. Some say Herod's under his influence and might even release him.
He'd not be such a fool.
He would.
Is not Jesus enough trouble without releasing his friend?
Have no fear. Herod's wife will never permit John to go free.
It's Herod who rules Galilee, not his wife.
But she rules Herod. And she's sworn she'll have the head of John the Baptist.
Would that Jesus were in John's place.
Well, who knows? If he remains in Galilee long enough, perhaps he shall.
Then, Jesus, knowing his enemies were uniting against him, withdrew from Capernaum, and many followed him. And he cured them all, and warned them not to make him known, that what was spoken through Isaiah the prophet might be fulfilled. Behold, my servant, I will uphold him. I have given my spirit upon him. He shall bring forth judgment to the Gentiles. He shall not cry, nor have respect to person. Neither shall his voice be heard abroad. Smoking flax he shall not quench. He shall bring forth judgment unto truth.
For I desired mercy and not sacrifice, and the knowledge of God more than holocausts. But they, like Adam, transgressed the covenant. There have they dealt treacherously against me.